Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. No, I didn't. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name.
Picked out to be picked on.
Amen. Amen. You better accept it. As a believer, you have a target on your back. We're going to go right into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord God, we know that it is a time where we need your word more than ever, Lord God. So our prayer today is that we would receive it, that we would digest it, that we would take it into our lives, Lord God. Father, more than ever, we need the nurturing and the nutrients of your word, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God. Father, your word says that we are the light that shines in the darkness, Lord God. So, Father, we pray that our light doesn't grow dim, Lord God, in this dark and perverse generation, Lord God. That we shine it brighter than ever, Lord God. Oh, Father, we want to meet you in victory, Lord God. So we pray, help us, keep us by your power, Lord God. If you don't keep us, we won't be kept, Lord God. So we pray that you keep us by your power and by your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before I start, I wanted to remind everybody that we are scheduled to have our Sunday dinner next Sunday, but I did not know it was also the Cowboy Sunday next week, and they're going to do hot dogs, and I just want to know, is that going to be a conflict for anybody? I didn't know how many of you all were going to do horseback riding and stay and do hot dogs. I think they're going to have horseback. I don't know if they're going to have horseback. I thought they were. I don't know. I could be wrong. Is it going to be a conflict for anybody? Do we need to change our date, you know, or are we good? You know, I'm good. I'm good, you know. I wasn't planning to stay, you know, but I know they were going to do hot dogs. I didn't want to cause a conflict for anybody that wanted to come to the Sunday dinner. We're good?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought our group would be... our group may not be a hot dog crew. I don't know. Pound cake sounds better than hot dogs, Rita says. So we'll do the pound cake. Okay. I thought we might be all right. I didn't realize it was that same Sunday. So we're going to go right into our lesson. You know, we had last Sunday off for a Resurrection Day, and we are continuing with the chapter on the name of Jesus as a deliverer, and we were on praying this name. We had started the first part of praying this name, and we're going to finish up today, but I just want to go back and review. When I was going back and reviewing yesterday, I just found some more juicy nuggets that I wanted to go back, and I'm like, let's go back and let's just review, and hopefully we're going to get through praying this name today. If you need a handout, this is the scripture handout that went along with it. The armor of God. If you need that, I have some extra copies. If you need copies of the armor of God, I have them here if you need some copies. So anyway, as we go into praying this name, our key scripture was praying in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And that's a scripture from Ephesians 6:18. And as we review praying this name, we talked about at the beginning of this segment, as you pray Christ's name, the deliverer, we want to review the many aspects in which he can manifest as the deliverer in your life. This praying in his name as a deliverer is the heart of spiritual warfare. And I can't emphasize that enough. You have to know him as deliverer. This is the heart of your spiritual warfare, knowing that Christ comes to deliver. Yes, he comes to save you. Yes, he comes to bring peace in your life and to bring joy in your life. But you really need to get this point, because as human beings, we need deliverance. Even after we get saved and accept Christ, we need deliverance. So we need to understand his name as deliverer, as the heart of our spiritual warfare. This praying must be done willfully and deliberately with your armor intact and your sword in your hand. And that's why, you know, I put this whole segment from Ephesians 6:11-18 on the armor of God, because it's so important that we understand our armor. And we went through the different armors of God, that the armor, the different pieces of the armor of God from Ephesians 6. And I'm just going to reread this. And it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And again, folks, I cannot emphasize enough that you have got to understand that we are not here by ourselves. That it's not just humans and what you see in the physical. There is a whole world going on in the spiritual, in the supernatural area. You know, I mean, you see it on TV and you think it's just TV and you think it's movies. Folks, I'm telling you, that where do you think they got all those stories that they're telling you in these movies and stuff? It's because we live alongside a spiritual world that is influencing this world. And Jesus came to deal with that issue with us. That's how we fell in the first place. It's because of the spiritual influence in the garden that day. And Adam believed the lie of Satan over the truth of what God had told him. So as we look at understanding this spiritual warfare that we're in, we can't look at people for people. You know, we want to get mad at Sally, and we want to get mad at Joey, and we want to get mad at all these different people. And I'm like, you're not seeing the real battle. You've got to look past that, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against a person. You're wrestling against a spirit. That's why people change like the wind. Today, they got an attitude. Tomorrow, they're okay. You know, Wednesday, they're kind of even. So because there are spirits that influence people. And if you don't know Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ, those spirits will carry you anywhere they want. You know, have you do all kind of crazy things. That's why you see the things going on in the world today. Because people don't know the Lord, and they are called, they are swayed and influenced to do so many different things. So you've got to understand you're dealing with a spiritual battle. And that's why verse 13 starts with therefore. Because we're dealing with all this, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. After the battle, yes, you are going to have some battles. Jesus told you, he told us, he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Count it. You know, what were you reading? What's the name of the lesson today? You know, it's so funny how when we talk in our class, how they repeat it from the pulpit. And I love that, because I know that is God talking. That is God talking. And when he says it twice, I'm telling you, people, pay attention when he's saying it twice. What does it say, Rita?
Picked out to be picked on.
Picked out to be picked on is the name of the lesson that Pastor Steve is going to minister on today. So, folks, we got to look at that. We got to look at how we have our armor on and that we have on it. As I was reviewing this again yesterday, I was just looking at the pieces of the armor and the belt of truth and how you have to be truthful about situations, because they said, you know, there's a you have to, the belt is what keeps your stuff tucked in. You know, when you're in battle, you don't want your skirt flying up in the air and all of that going on and your shirt flying up in the air. So they have on a belt, the warriors have on a belt, so things are not flying in their face. But when you don't live in truth, when you're lying all the time, when you're practicing lying, I'm telling you, all kind of stuff is going to be flying up in your face, and you cannot do battle. You're trying to use your sword, but that lie is all in your face. So I love the way the Bible puts it, the belt of truth. It keeps your stuff tight and intact so that you can see clearly on how to deal with the enemy. So, but if you have a bunch of lies out there, I'm telling you, you're going to have some issues. You won't be able to see clearly. Things will be fighting your face. The body armor, God's righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness. And as I said, that goes over your heart. You know, that's an issue there. Do you want to do it his way? Do you want to do it Jesus' way? Because see, that's a heart thing. That's a heart issue. You know, because we can come to Christ. I'm telling you, right here in salvation, we come into Jesus Christ and we don't want to do it his way. You know, I was telling somebody, we just want to wave to him across the room. Thank you for the salvation. Thanks. You know, but we don't want to get close to him. We don't want to walk across the room and sit next to him. We don't want him to put his arms, oh no, don't get too close to me now. You know, I've accepted you, but don't get too close to me, because our heart. You don't have that breastplate really secured on. Your heart is not really with him. Your heart is still with your own agenda. Your heart is still other places. Your heart is still in other relationships. And you don't want to get too close to him. You just are happy waving at him from across the room. But you don't want to go sit in the sofa next to him. Because he might just tell you something that you don't want to hear. Or he might ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Because, again, breastplate of righteousness, guys. You need to decide. Do you want to do it Jesus' way? Because that's what this whole salvation thing is about. Is that you're doing it his way. So you need to make a decision whether you're going to have that breastplate on. The shoes of peace, this one really got me. I just had to review that one. It's interesting that they call the shoes of peace because shoes take you places. It's what you walk on. You have to pursue peace. Because I'm telling you right now, there are people out there that pursue strife. They love it. I have seen it. They love it. They love to instigate and cause arguments. They'll be right there just causing an argument. They hear a little something going on and they'll add something to it. Love it. It's like they get a thrill or a high, you know, out of seeing some people fight. I don't know if you know people like that. I know people like that. They get some kind of thrill out of seeing people fight or to see people be at odds. You know, sometimes it's in a family. You know, there's one family that just want to instigate. And you know, I don't know if you know what Bobby did, but Bobby, you know, he did, you know, just instigating, you know, pursuing strife. And that's why, because they're walking, they're pursuing. It's the shoes of, you can have the shoes of strife on, or you can have the shoes of peace. But the shoes of peace walks into a situation and it tries to de-escalate. It tries to bring peace to the situation. It holds its tongue sometime because, you know, if I say that, it's going to cause strife, so I'm not going to speak that. It doesn't need to be spoken. I can deal with it without it being spoken and cause a big ruckus in the family or in my job. I can deal with that. You know, those are shoes of peace. You're walking. That's when you're walking in peace. You walk into situations and you de-escalate. And remember what the Bible says about the peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. So if you're going to be the child of God, then you're a peacemaker. If you're causing strife and instigating, guess what? You're not living up to that label. So blessed are the peacemakers. So that shoes of peace that you're walking, you're pursuing peace in the life. It's not going to be a passive thing. You have to pursue peace in this world. Because the enemy, those demons of strife are everywhere. That's the way the enemy gets over on us. He divides us and he conquers. He tries to divide us all kind of ways. He tries to divide the body of Christ. I'm talking about, you know, as I said, we're talking about the body of Christ in this room. You know, this class is called Faith Builders. You know, so we're talking about people that have already come into the faith. You know, and building your faith up in here. So you got to understand, don't let Satan divide us. You know, he divides us any kind of way he can, along religious lines, along this line, along that line, all these ways he tries to divide us. That's how he works. But that spirit of strife, folks, the shoes of peace is what fights that. The shoes of peace, that just jumped out at me. You know, it goes on to talk about the shield of faith. And the shield, of course, it quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. So as you're in battle, and the thing about the shield of faith, the shield, you can move it. You can move it because the shield is going to, I mean, the enemy is going to try to hit you. He'll hit you on your back. He'll try to hit you on your legs. He'll try to hit you on your head. You got to move it. And that would translate to he's going to hit you at your job. He's going to hit you in your family. He's going to hit you with your kids. He's going to hit you with your neighbor. So you just have to have that shield of faith ready to quench. You know, I believe God in this situation. I believe God in that situation. I believe God here. And I'm going to do it his way. So the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, we talked about that. Satan plays mind games on you. That's where he gets you, in your mind. The helmet of salvation, the helmet goes on the head where your mind and your thought processes are. So you have got to learn to think who, you have to learn to think about who you are. You are a child of the living God, and don't let Satan lie to you and tell you you're something less and something else. You tell him. You know, you tell him, no, I am a child of the living God, because he will lie to you. I mean, I see, more than anything, I see him lying to people about themselves. He'll lie to you about other people, but more often than not, he's going to lie to you about you. Because if he can get you to believe the lie, then you're going to behave in a different way. You know, if you believe you're this way, I was talking to someone just yesterday. I said, you know, when you see people that are prostituting, how do they get there? How does someone's self-esteem get so low that they would sell their body for money? It's because of lies were told to them. Lies were told to them, and they felt that they were worthless, and I can't do any. This is all I am, and this happened to me, and that happened. I don't care what happened to you in your past. You can still accept Jesus and be a child of the Most High God, a princess, a queen, a prince, a king, no matter what has happened to you. And don't let Satan lie to you. You know, he'll come and lie to you, and he likes to bring up your past, folks. He likes to bring, oh, how dare you? You think you can do? You're going to be a missionary? Oh, you go to church? You're going to sing in the choir? Oh, you? He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar, people. And stop letting him lie to you. Have your helmet of salvation on that tells you who you are in Jesus. And don't let him lie to you. And again, it goes on. We talked about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You got to be in the Word. You got to be in the Word, because you cannot fight Satan outside of the Word of God. How did Jesus fight him in the desert? He fought him with the Word. He fought him with the Word. So you've got to remember, Jesus had his sword ready in the desert. And he cut him down every single time in the desert. So you have to have your sword ready. You can't expect, no one can read that word and absorb that word and take in that word for you. You have to have your sword ready yourself. If you have to write scriptures down on 3x5 cards and tape them all over the place, then do that. That's why I love that movie, The War Room, how they had the closet with all those scriptures on there. Folks, I had already, before I saw that movie, I had scriptures that were taped around. You know, but tape some scriptures around so you can read it. Put it on your bathroom mirror so you can read it. You know, have your little closet, your war room closet, where you're going to go read. And we talked about praying and praying and praying and supplicating. Supplicate, folks. If there's ever a time in human history where we need to be supplicating, it is now. We need to be on our face crying over Pueblo and crying over this nation and crying over our families. If there ever was a time, you need to be supplicating now. And praying and praying and praying and reaching out and watch God move, because God will move if we would pray. If we would pray. We can't just ignore it. We can't expect people to pray for us. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. You've got to stop expecting everybody else to pray for you. Pray for yourself. I pray you pray. That's one of my prayers when I pray for people. I said, I pray you pray. I pray that you learn to have a prayer life. Because there's somebody that needs you to pray for them. There are people you know I don't know, or Pastor Steve doesn't know, or other people don't know, that you need to be supplicating and praying for. So we pray at all times, and it finally says stay alert, meaning be sober. Be persistent again in all your prayers for all believers everywhere. So as we talk about praying this name of the deliverer, we really have to understand this armor of God piece and what we need to be doing. You know, and another thing, I'm just getting back to that belt of truth. The note I made about the belt of truth was that the belt of truth covers your intestines. You know, it covers here. It covers that part of you, your gut. Your gut is where you digest things, you know. So you can't even digest the word of God, you know, if you don't have truth in your life. If you're living a lie, you cannot digest the word of God. And I know that to be true. I've seen people that are, when they're living a lie, when they got stuff going on and they don't want anybody to know and they got little secret stuff going on, they cannot digest the word of God. They won't take it in. It's like they can't, because why? Their intestines, their gut is not covered in the belt of truth. I just wanted to bring that out. So as we go on and we talk about praying, the different aspects of him as a deliverer. You know, first of all, we talked about praying he delivers you by setting you or a friend or a loved one free or safe from evil or danger. So the first thing, setting you free. You know, so the first order on your plate is to set yourself free. You know, because how can you pray for someone else's deliverance when you're all bound up? So the first thing to do is that you pray about setting yourself free, you know, and setting others free, setting friends and loved ones free. And then next we talked about pray that Christ delivers or births the offspring in your life or reproduces you. Remember we talked about when you're alive, we did the way, the truth, and the life. Life reproduces. If your life is stagnant, you need to take another look at it. Because only death does not reproduce. Death decays. Death reduces. But life, it can't help but reproduces. Look around you outside. It can't help. You know, the trees can't help it. You know, even after the snowstorm, the trees are coming back, you know. Some of them lost some branches. I don't know. We lost some branches, some big old branches out in Pueblo West. Man, that tree that was left, man, it came back, you know. Because life cannot help it. It will reproduce. So when the life of Jesus Christ is in you, you're not going to be able to help it. You're going to reproduce. I cannot believe, like, I can't believe myself. I can't believe I'm standing up here talking like this. I can't believe it, Rita. I know where I was. I couldn't even present when I was in medical school. I was so full of fear. I couldn't even present my patients to a group of four people because I was so fearful. It's like someone had their hand around my throat and I could not. My voice would just like someone turned the volume down and I could because I was so gripped with fear. But I'm telling you, as you grow in God, as I have grown in God, I'm like, is that me? I just want to sit out there. I'm like, you know, because that's what God will do. He'll change you and you won't even realize you've been changed. You know, it wasn't even like a 7-step process or some process that people, it was just day by day. He changed me. Reading his word and praying, he will change you, folks. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. He will change you. You know, I don't have a sanguine temperament. I'm going to tell you now, this is not, you know, we talk about the difference. The sanguines are the bubbly, outgoing people. I'm not that. That's not my temperament. So I know this has got to be God. So pray that Christ delivers or births the offspring in your life. The thing that he's called you to do. As I said, Jesus is more of a midwife rather than just a physician that comes in and delivers and goes. The midwife stays there through the whole process while you're birthing things in. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the devil's going to fight you. I'm going to tell you right now, accept it, know it. He's coming at me. But as our book says, there's something in our book that says, he who praises most swings best. So I'm telling you, swing at the devil with praise and worship, with the word of God. Get your sword out, but birth your baby into the world. Birth whatever that is God has got in your spirit to do. Birth it. Bring it forth in the name of Jesus. Bring that baby forth. And that takes some spiritual prevail we talked about. Spiritual prevailing and spiritual travailing. You know, the scripture says, we read Isaiah 53, 11 through 12, and it says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ. But if you look at the different parts of what he's talking about here, he labored in his soul. Remember, Jesus was human. You know, he was human. He labored in his soul. I'm sure that he felt a lot of anxiety. That's why he was in that garden sweating blood, because of all the anxiety. He knew what was coming. But he labored in his soul and he stayed with it because he had to bear our iniquities. He had to carry the burden of the world on his back. So that's why he stayed with it. And he asked us to do the same thing. We're not just bearing our own stuff. We're bearing, you know, we bear things for other people. That supplicating piece. We go back. That deliverance. Every one of us knows people that need deliverance. Every single one of us in here knows somebody that needs deliverance. So I encourage you. I encourage you. Start supplicating for that person. You know, start supplicating. Get on your face. You love them. I know you love them. Get on your face. You know, sometimes we want to talk about everything that they're doing or they've done. But have you prayed? Because God gets me sometimes. Like, you know, after I get finished fussing, oh, and they sold out, and then he's like, but have you prayed for them? I'm like, no, I haven't. And I feel so ashamed. because I'm fussing and I'm talking about them, but I have not dropped a knee for them, haven't prayed for them. Know that they're lost, know that they're a certain way, but I won't suffocate for them. So we want to get that. We want to get into that spiritual travailing to bring forth the baby, bring forth what we need to bring forth, you know, in our lives. We went on to talk about the deliverer means to give forth or express in words, as in delivering a speech. And this is a little different way of deliverer, but it's just the different ways in which this word is used. Pray that God will move you to deliver what the deliverer has placed in you. Okay, so you birthed the baby, but now you've got to do the other parts of it, you know? You got to deliver what the Lord tells you to deliver about the baby. The deliverer sets you free for a purpose. And again, we talked about purpose in the last lesson. The deliverer sets you free for purpose, his purpose. Christ's purpose was born out of love for you and for others. Your part is to have the faith in him to deliver your purpose to him, your purpose in him to the world. God's word promises, "For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And that's Jeremiah 29:11. And I love that because I can trust the deliverer. As I'm delivering, if I'm delivering something in his name, he told me, okay, say this, do this, you know, I can trust it because he knows the plans I have for you. Sometimes it won't be received, sometimes it will be, but I'm telling you, if you're doing it for him and you're doing it unto him and he called you to do it, I'm telling you, he has a hope and a future for you. Within Christ, deliverance is everything that you need to deliver his purpose in your life to the world. I'm telling you, you have everything you need. You know, I'm talking to you guys that are shy and those of you that think you don't have anything to offer. You, everybody, he has put gifts in every single person. You have gifts. The liar is in your ear sometimes trying to keep it down on the down low because he's like, if that gift ever comes out, they're going to do some harm to my kingdom. The Satan would say that if that gift ever came out. So let's keep that quiet. And boy, if they ever heard her voice, oh my goodness, she's going to do some damage to my kingdom. So just keep that in mind. The Christ, the deliverer, has given you everything you need to deliver his purpose in your life to the world. Every gift in you, every provision for you is a part of that purpose. Sometimes we get blessings in our lives. We're like, oh, isn't this wonderful? I got a blessing. Remember, that blessing is never just for you. The Lord has just told me that. It is never just for you. You know, and that's what the mindset you got to have when you get a blessing. Okay, Lord, I got this blessing. What is your purpose with this blessing? Thank you for letting me enjoy it. But what is your purpose for the blessing? Who else am I supposed to be blessing with this? What am I supposed to be doing with this? You know, don't think it's just for me, my four, no more. You know, no. Think outside of that. We are children of the Most High God. We are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. And kings and queens look out for other people other than themselves. That's the way of our Savior. He didn't stay up in heaven. He came down and dealt with his subjects. He came down and dealt with his creation. You know, he came and did what needed to be done. He gave up heaven for his creation. So when you are blessed, folks, think about, what do you want me to do with this blessing, Lord? Why have you given it to me? When you gave your life to Christ and he delivered you from the bondage of sin, his word and promises began to apply to all things in your life. Nothing is by coincidence. I say, what we're talking about when we hear a lesson in here and then we hear it again in the pulpit, you know, I don't even use that word random anymore. It's not random. It's not by coincidence. You need to be paying attention, because if God is saying it to you twice, and Lord help you if he's saying it to you three times, pay attention. He's trying to tell you something. Sometimes he's trying to warn you about something. Sometimes he's trying to lead you towards something. So pay attention when you keep hearing it and you keep hearing it. Like, Lord, what, you know, like little Samuel, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. You know, he thought Eli was calling him as a little boy. He kept hearing the voice of God, and he thought Eli was calling him. And he said, did you call me? He says, no, I didn't call you. And he heard the voice again. He ran to Eli. He says, did you call me? He says, Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And then the third time, I think Eli said, when you hear it again, just say, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. And that's what he did. And God just poured into him. Poured into him. So you have to understand when God is speaking to you over and over and over again about something, pay attention. Okay, I used to think, people say, well, I don't hear God speaking. I don't hear stuff. Sometimes God has been speaking all along, but we do not pay attention. We have our own agendas every day. We're busy. We got our own life. We got our mindset on other things, and we won't pay attention. And so your prayer is, Lord, help me to see. Lord, I'm trying to do what I need to do every day. I know you got things to do. I got things I got to do every day too. But I'm praying, Lord, help me to see. Help me not miss an opportunity to be there for somebody or to do what you want me to do. I had a busy, busy week last week. It was just a crazy, crazy week last week. And one morning, just in prayer, Lord said, make sure you pray with this one today. You know, when I went to the center, make sure you pray for this one. And I, you know, and I got there and totally forgot. And just got into my work and into what I was doing. And that person walked in my office. And just on some business thing, came in my office. And I said, and the Lord brought it back. Pray with her. And I'm like, you know, I felt the Lord wanted me to pray with you. Are you okay with that? She goes, yes, yes. Because she had some stuff going on. You know, she had some stuff going on, man. She had some major stuff coming up this week. And she said, yes, yes, pray with me. You know, because sometimes we got to pay attention. I'm like, okay, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, because that's going to strengthen her walk with Christ. That Christ thought enough to send somebody to pray for her. You know, we've got to practice that. You're on the phone with people. I know sometimes you're on the phone and people are just telling you their troubles and telling you that, pray. Come on, let's pray. Sometimes I have to interrupt people. I said, okay, let's pray. Let's pray. I know. He did it again. Oh, yeah, I know. Let's pray. Let's pray because that's where the warfare is. The warfare is not in your conversation. I know sometimes people have to vent, and I know sometimes people have to say things, but as much as they vent and as much as they do that, it does not bring the deliverance. Prayer will bring the deliverance. The word of God is going to bring the deliverance. You've got to bring this stuff up before the Father. And people always ask, why, God, why do you make us pray? You already know what's going on. Why do I have to tell you? That's just the way. That, you know, I believe he tries to make us be a part of that. You know, he said, because if I just did, I felt this way. That he would say it, because if I just did it, you would never talk to me. You would never talk to me if I just did it. You would just be doing your thing and doing your thing. Oh, God, gonna take care of that. But he makes us be a part of that. And don't you care more about it when it happens? When that person gets delivered, don't you care more? You know, when that person finally comes to church and gives their life to Jesus Christ, don't you care more? Because you were supplicating for that one. I've seen it. I've seen it in church many times. You know, that mama that comes running down with that son and throws her arms around him and just weeps with him. Because why? She was a part of the process. God made it so we have to be a part of the process of our own deliverance and for the deliverance of others. So there's no getting around that, guys. And I love that because when you're a part of the process, it bursts an intimacy with you in God. You become closer with him because, you know, your teammates. It's like you're part of the team now, you know. I mean, everyone feels that. Don't you feel good when you work on a project, you know, at the job and everybody's working and you were a part of the team? I did that part. You see that red streak on the poster? I did that, you know. And you feel good because you're a part of it. You know, you see how the red, you know, all that is good, but that red really makes it pop, you know. Because that's the way we are, and that's the way God put us together, is that when we're a part of something, we care more about it, and we feel an intimacy or a closeness with it. So we want to be a part of his delivering. We want to be in the delivering process, and So the example of delivering the speech or giving it out, you know, give out what God has put in you to do and don't hold it in. When God speaks to you about doing something, do it. So as we talked about, let me find my place. And so the scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. You know, all you must do is to respond to the measure of faith he has placed in you and get to work. Respond. The scripture says he's given to every one of us a measure of faith. You do have faith in you. Okay, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, he said, you could move a mountain. So activate that faith in you. So the next aspect of deliver, it says deliver means to give, hand over, or transfer, as in to deliver a message. That's from our book, or package. This is a little different than the previous point in the aspect of deliver is short-lived. This deliver is short-lived and often involves pure obedience within a short time limit. Pray for this obedience to be manifested in your life. So this is like a short-lived obedience. You are God's delivery person. Don't you know it? I'm God's delivery girl. Okay, I want to be his delivery girl. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I don't want my packages stacking up. You know, if the UPS guy does not deliver his package, guess what? He's gonna have his stuff packed up. You know, it's gonna back up. It's gonna be piled up in his truck. I don't want God's deliveries backed up because I'm not delivering what he told me to deliver. Sometimes it's short-lived. He told you to give something. That usually is something that you had to give away. You know, I'm going to tell you right now. It's something you got to give away. I'm telling you. And God will mess with you. I mean, and I think I told y'all that story when God told me to give my car away. And I was like, Jesus, no, please, Jesus, please. I just finished paying for it. I just wanted to enjoy not having a car payment for a little bit, Jesus. I just want to enjoy it. Enjoy it. And it was so funny because this poor family that needed this, not poor, but they just needed this van. They needed them. And God told me who to give it to. And they're walking. You know, this person that I say I love is walking with her four children. And God told me to do that. And I remember one of her daughters who's just, you know, just a little 8 years old. And I remember I was dropping him off one day and she slowly got out of my van and she looked around and she says, you know, Dr. Karen, I like this van. I'm like, if you don't get your little self out of my van. And for that child to say that, I mean, she had been in my bed numerous times, but for her to say that, I knew it was God. Again, I was paying, I couldn't help but pay attention. It was, I'm like, Lord Jesus, really? Really? She likes it. She likes it. And I'll tell you, my packages were piling up because I wasn't delivering. And I had to learn to be God's delivery girl. I said, Lord, I'll be your delivery girl. I will give when you tell me to give. I'll go buy. So I'll go do this. Sometimes God will tell you. Sometimes it's little stuff. You know, give somebody something. Give somebody this. Give somebody that. You know, just give it to them. You know, and sometimes with this particular thing, it does. It all it involves is pure obedience. And sometimes, and I'm getting ahead. Let me just read this lesson. The Holy Spirit, the next point says, the Holy Spirit is ever active through God's people, moving us to deliver a word, an item at the right time, simply out of obedience. The reason for the delivery may not make sense to you at the time. It is a delivery born purely out of the purposes of the Spirit of God for you, for another person. And it doesn't make sense. Well, why I got to give them that? They got plenty. Why I got to give? Because God sold you to, you know, and that's got to be enough that God said to do it, you know. And I don't mean to showcase you, Rose, but I got to showcase Rose for a second because, you know, I got like a gazillion and one scarves. I love scarves. But a few weeks ago, Rose gave me a scarf and I love it. I just, beautiful scarf. I'm like, you know, I got it. And I'm sure she could say, she got a plenty of scarves. She doesn't need a scarf. But I believe the Lord told her to do it. Just give me that scarf. And I needed that kind of style too. You know, so. Just give it. Even though you think, oh, they don't need it. You know, Give it out of pure obedience. And there is something intimate about that with you and God. When you give something out of pure obedience, there's something intimate that is working between you and the Lord that you gave it. And he even knew how much it meant to you, how valuable it was to you. But when you give it, there's something intimate that works. You know, and those of you that don't know it, I did do it, and the Lord really blessed me behind that. You know, and something, our relationship went to a whole new level. You know, he took me into a whole new level of things and seeing the world in a different perspective. You know, just giving. When you give, boy, it just takes you to a whole new perspective. You're not caught up in the stuff and the things as much as you were anymore. It doesn't matter. You know, all this is going to pass away. Everything man-made is going to depreciate. I kid you not. Every single thing man-made is going to depreciate. So I don't know why you're putting all your stock in it. You know, because it will depreciate. So we want to do it his way and deliver what he tells us to deliver. So even though it doesn't make sense, it's time. It's born purely out of the purposes of God. As the scriptures teach us, we are destroying sophisticated arguments. Hear that? Sophisticated arguments, because I'm telling you, you can have a bunch of stuff going on in your head on why you should not do it. And every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. There we go. We go back to pride, because sometimes we don't give because we're too proud. You know, we got our stuff and we don't want to give our stuff away. It's about pride. It always goes back to that. And we're taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive and we make it, one translation says, we make it obedient to Christ. So we do what the Lord tells us to do. You know, we pray. So you need to start delivering your packages. You know, if you have some packages that are backed up that you were supposed to be delivering to people, you need to start delivering your packages to people. Like I said, this week, you know, I had to deliver that package to that young lady. I had to deliver it. You know, it was just a short-lived thing, but I had to deliver that package to her. So if you have packages, you've got to deliver spiritual packages. Sometimes they're tangible, physical packages. Deliver them in the name of Jesus. Do what he tells us to do. Because all of this stuff is going to pass away, folks, I'm telling you. And I want to meet him with my work done. I don't want to meet him with all these packages backed up in my house or backed up in my life. I want to meet him with my packages delivered. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work in you to act as a conduit to transfer his presence and power into the lives of others through acts of obedience. If you are in doubt that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to do something, remember these points. And I wanted to point this out because this is so important that we understand this as believers. Number one, a good and sincere deed from your heart to honor God, he will count it as an act of faith. He will. Like, I hear people say, well, I don't know if God said that. I don't know. If it's sincere from your heart and you believe God told you to do it, then do it. God will count it toward faith. The scripture, this is what the scripture says. What is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Question mark. You know, so what good is it for you to be talking about how you're a Christian and all this stuff and there's no good works in your life toward anybody? Can that kind of faith save him? Question mark. No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works, he writes. And then verse 18, skipping to verse 18, it says, but someone may say, you claim to have faith and have good works and works. Show me your alleged, I love that, Amplified put that in there, your alleged faith without the works, if you can. Wow. And I will show you my faith by my works. That is by what I do. By what you do. You know, you can talk the talk all you want. But I'm looking at your life. Who are you giving to? Who are you helping? Who are you blessing? Is it all about you? You know, as I said, my four, no more. I know some people, I mean, yes, you're supposed to help your family and bless your family. But I'm telling you, as believers, it should be going outside of your family. You know, the world loves their family. You know, unbelievers will love their family, but there's something about the children of the living God. Do you know we are the most, of all people groups, we give more than any other people group. We give more to missions. We give more to so many charities. It's Christians that give more. I read that statistic. It's the Christians that give more. Anybody else? So we have a good thing going, but folks, we got to do it more. Let's pour out. Don't let those packages be piling up. Do something for your neighbor. You know, and there's so many opportunities. You know, Christmas time comes around, take some cookies around their neighborhood. You know, how blessed. I did that one time. You know, I didn't even know the people. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go across the street. I see these people all the time. I'll go across the street. I took them some banana nut bread. And they were like, oh, thank you. You know, I just live right over there. And, you know, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just tell Merry Christmas. You know? You know, and even if they're non-believers or they have a certain, they still appreciate that you thought to, oh, their belief is that they give at Christmas time. You know, wow, that speaks something. You know, so again, take opportunities. Wherever you have opportunities to give, you know, give. Folks, I'm telling you, this is an aspect of delivery. So if you do it in a good heart, to honor God, he will count as an act of faith. So again, your faith should have something attached to it, like some good works. Number two, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do or say anything that is against the word of God. And you need to get this. We need to get this. Because sometimes as believers, because we're nice people, you know, we're labeled as, oh, they're nice, those nice Christians. People think they can come in and just do whatever to you in your life and different things. But you have got to know this very well, that the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything or say anything that is against the word of God. Always check what you feel to deliver with the word of God. Conversely, always check what is delivered to you with the word of God. That's the part I want to get to too. Don't just receive everything somebody's telling you. You know, thus saith the Lord. You know, move on to Alaska. And set up an igloo ministry. And right now, Joy said no. You know, and the Lord has not spoken a word to you, especially when you have a prayer life. You got a prayer life, and God has not even spoken a whisper to you about Alaska. And here comes Prophet Joe. I'm telling you, you have to know. You know, the word of God, what is delivered, what's being delivered to you. So that's another part of this deliverance thing. Some people are in bondage because somebody, they received something that was delivered to them that they should not have received because it didn't line up with the word of God. It didn't line up with their prayer life. It didn't line up, but they just did it because Prophet Joe said to do it. You know, folks, I'm telling you, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've had people say stuff to me that I knew. I said, no, that's not God. God did not tell me to do that. And we're talking. We're talking every day. It's a lot. It's not like I'm close shutting him out. We're talking. So always test it by the word. And I'm telling you, folks, this is maturity. If you want to be mature in Christ, you need to understand this point. Don't receive everything. If somebody tells you something or tells you something, even something spiritual, check it with the word of God. If I say something that doesn't hit you quite right, you check it with the word of God. And if it doesn't line up, you come and tell me, Karen. You know what you said? Girl, are you praying? No, point it out. Because nothing trumps the word of God, folks. Okay, so don't let people's professed spirituality trump the word of God in your life. Okay, just keep that in mind. You know, always check it with the word. If it doesn't hit you quite right, especially check it with the word. This is what the scripture says about this. 1 John 4 says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. It was going on back then, okay? You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. 1 John 4 and 1. So this stuff was going on back then because remember, the enemy is the great deceiver. So he will deceive you right at church if you are not in line, if you're not praying, if you're not reading your word. So again, the two things, if you did it out of a sincere heart and the Lord told you to do it, and number two, the Holy Spirit is never going to tell you to do something that is against the word of God. Okay, so those two things. Okay, as we move on, because we want to finish this, deliver means to send forth such as a well delivers oil or water. And this is from our book. This aspect of deliver has to do with a continual pouring out of yourself to others in the name of the deliverer. This relates to a long-term nurturing, as a parent does for a child, a well that waters a community so that it can grow strong and reproduce. Pray for this aspect of deliver in your life, which is manifested as a long and stable work. Pray to be unmoved and undaunted by the winds that will blow and faithful to your assignment from the deliverer. I tell you, I know we live in a day and age. I mean, it's like a rampant thing where people are unstable. People don't stay in the same jobs anymore. Remember back in the day, I mean, I may be dating myself, but I remember back in the day where people stayed at the same job for 20, 30, 40 years. That doesn't happen today. They said the average time someone stays at a job is like 5 years, and they move on. You know, people don't stay at a job anymore like they used to. You know, and that same spirit comes into the church, where people don't stay on their assignment. A church is an assignment. When God calls you to a church, it's not just about you again. You know, it's not just about you so you can get your good feeling and get your feel, you know, get your, you know, I mean, yes, you should come and be fed and be blessed, but it's also about the people around you, serving the community. You know, what do I need to be plugged? I need to be plugged into the church so I can serve the community, so I can do this. But it's amazing how people does not stay on their assignment. And I'm not saying that God doesn't move people, because God does move people from other churches. Sometimes their assignment is done and they need to move on. You know, missionaries, okay, your mission is done and you need to move on. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that be sure that the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has told you to leave. And not because your feelings got hurt. And not because I don't like the music. And not because, well, that didn't hit me quite right. I just need a little more pizzazz or excitement. It just kills me how flippant people are with their assignments from the Lord. God will give you an assignment. You know, he'll give you a church assignment. I know that to be true. He'll give you a church assignment. And you stay at that assignment. And you carry out what your Lord and Savior told you to do with that assignment. Until he moves you, if he moves you, you know. So again, deliverer is like a well. You know, when a well gives water, you're not expecting that water to be there for just a day or a week. You expect that water to water the place for years and years to come. Oil, an oil well. They don't dig an oil well for it to give oil for a week. They're expecting that oil to be giving them the oil for decades. That's why they tap it. That's why they spend so much money digging those wells. Same way. You know, are you continually giving out water in your life? Long obedience. There's a book that I had years ago. It's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And that was hard. You know, I went through that, you know, in building our center. You know, there were times when I'm like, I'm done. I just got to shut this down. I just can't do this anymore. I can't. I just can't. And God would always come in. God would always come in and just tell me, no, stay with it. Stay with it. And he would send. Usually it was a financial thing. I'd like, we're going to have to shut down. I can't pay anybody. I'm just going to just shut it down, send everybody home. And God would send help. Long obedience in the same direction. Long obedience. Sometimes I didn't get a paycheck, but I, you know, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that we paid the staff. And that was part of it. That was part of it. Because sometimes you may not get the accolades that you think you should be getting. And sometimes you're not getting the money you think you should be getting. You know, but it's about a long obedience in the same direction. And I'm telling you, this kind of obedience builds, again, that intimacy with you and God. I trust him so much today because I know what he brought us through. I know what he brought us through. You know, I'm one of those people that has start all over in my life. Start all over. But God was there and he was faithful. But you got to stay. Stay with the program. If he told you to do it, stay with it. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Stay with it. Be a well. Be that well that's constantly giving out the water to the people, constantly giving out that water to the community, no matter how hard it is and how difficult it is. And yes, your feelings are going to get hurt. And yes, you're going to get, you know, beat up a little bit. But if the master tells you to stay, you stay. If the commander-in-chief tells you to stay, you stay. And I thank God for what he's done with us today. You know, I just thank God. I said, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for what you've done with our organization today, because we stay with it. So it's like a well. You're delivering oil. Pray that you can be like the apostle who as his life was coming to a close, wrote these words to young Timothy. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Wow, wouldn't you want to be able to say that at the end? And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me. Hear this, people. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. And that's 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. You know, I want to be able to say that. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say that. That I did. I fought the good fight. I finished what he told me to do. And I kept the faith. Yes, you're going to have good days and bad days, but at the end, I kept the faith, Lord. And then this crown of righteousness he talks about. This is a crown that Jesus Christ places on your head someday. You know, the crown of righteousness. Remember we talked about the breastplate of righteousness? That's why that's the crown of righteousness, because your heart was for him. Your heart was for him. I hope you can see that connection with the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness over the heart. What your heart is, what you believe. Your heart is what you do. The heart is where you love. And so he gives you, what's the what now? The crown of righteousness has to do, if you could tie it in with the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness goes over the heart. The heart is what you believe and what you do and what you love. So when Jesus Christ gives you that crown of righteousness, it is because you have believed him. And you have poured out your entire life, as the apostle said, I have poured out my life for Jesus Christ. You know, and now I'm at the end of my life. He's saying, I'm about to die. But I can say this, I fought a good fight. I wasn't perfect, but I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I stumbled sometimes. I got distracted sometimes, but I finished my course. And finally, I kept the faith. There were days when I doubted. There was a days when I was anxious. There was days when I was so afraid, but I kept the faith at the end. I did it. So he's going to give that crown of righteousness. And he said, and not just for me, but it's for you all too. It's for you all. It's for me. You know, when I read that yesterday, it had a whole different meaning to me when I tied it in with the breastplate. I was like, oh God, you have one for me. Do you have one for me is my question. Because I can't even assume he has one. I'm just like, I hope you do. I hope I'm finishing like this man finished. You know, that he could say he finished what the Lord told him to do. And I've heard people say that sometimes, that, you know, they've done great things. This was a person talking. They had already done great things, built a great ministry. And they said, I have three more phases that the Lord has told me to complete. You know, and he knew that. He knew the things that God had set up for him to do. And he said, I have three more phases to complete before I'm done. You know, so I believe that God does tell people when they have that type of intimacy with God, God will tell you, okay, I need you to complete this, and I need you to complete this, and I need you to complete this, and then. You know, so I thought that was just so amazing and so beautiful to have that type of relationship. Next, because we want to get done and we're at 10 o'clock. Deliver means to strike a blow as delivering a punch. Beloved, let's use our time of prayer in Jesus' name and send some blows in Satan's direction. And that's from our book. To deliver a blow to Satan simply involves staying in line with Christ's way of living. It will take prayer, preparation every day to remain hidden in Christ through the storm. You deliver a blow to Satan when you do not return evil for evil, hear this, or insult for insult. Don't you know you're delivering a blow to Satan when you just keep your mouth, keep your tongue? You are delivering a blow to Satan. But instead, you stand in Christ, worshiping him with your response to the troubles of life. And see 1 Peter 3:9 on that. As we praise him in the fire, we deliver blows to the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand that? When you praise God, when you are going through, I remember praising him, tears rolling down my eyes. My heart was so hurt and so wounded. But I dare you to praise him. I dare you to turn on some praise and worship. You know, I dare you just to do that in the midst of your pain. Praise him in the pain. Learn how to praise him in the pain, folks. Learn how to praise him in the pain. And the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood and you allow the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against him, that's a reference from Isaiah 59:19. Instead of responding to your emotions, you deliver a blow to Satan. When the enemy is coming in like a flood, allow the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against him and not be led by your emotions. That is one of our biggest issues, is our emotions. So many people are led by their emotions, and I see all these movies they have out where people are being led by their emotions and their passion, and they make it and they become victorious because they were so determined in their passion and their emotion to get their revenge and get their this and get their that. But I'm telling you, real life is not like that. I ask you, submit your emotions to Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Spirit inspire you and not your emotions. I've said this before. Whatever inspires you will control you. If your emotions inspire you, your emotions will control you. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you, the Holy Spirit will control you. So if you want to deliver a blow to Satan, you want to do it God's way. You don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but you respond in the way that Christ would want you to respond. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you allow Christ to lift up a standard. And then this quote is from the book, "He who praises most swings best." I love that. That's one for the war room. "He who praises most swings best." Satan hates it when you praise him, and he's looking at you because when he wreaks havoc in your life, he's looking at you. Oh, I'm just waiting for her to cuss somebody out now. And what comes out of your mouth is praise instead. Oh, that knocks him back. That knocks him back. Oh my God, she's worshiping him. That knocks him back. That gives him a blow right to his face. Our last comment is, as you pray his name, the deliverer, continue to pray as Christ taught you. Deliver me from evil. And this is a daily prayer. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. There's a reason why Jesus made this a part of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver me from evil. We need to get a deep understanding of that part of the Lord's Prayer, because we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. The Lord's Prayer can be found in Matthew 6:13. Allow him to continue the cleansing. Continue to bring yourself to the altar of Christ, to humble yourself before the deliverer. Adopt the heart of David, who prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Put out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." I love David and how candid he was before God. He said, "Search me and know my heart. Know my anxious thought. I know I deal with anxiety, Lord, trying to do what you want me to do. But search my anxious thought. Point out things to me that offend you and then lead me along the path of everlasting life." Like, David was not someone that was waving at God from across the room. David was sitting next to him, you know, all up in his face, you know, because this guy was real about his relationship. Search me, know me, you know, and he was so real. I love the fact how honest he was. He would tell God, "I hate them, Lord. I hate them with a perfect hatred." Of course, God doesn't call us to hate people, but I love the fact that he was so real about that. Have you ever hated somebody with a perfect hatred? Maybe it's just me. There's been people that I'm like, "Jesus, help me, because I hate them with a perfect hatred. Help me to love them." You know, You know what I'm talking about. They mess with my child, Jesus. I hate them. So bring it to the Lord and let him deliver you from evil. You know when you've got junk in your heart. You know when you've got a resentment and a hatred in your heart. Deliver us from evil, the Lord says in the Lord's Prayer. This is true deliverance, when you're ready to let him deliver you from these things. So that is the lesson. Any comments or questions?
But when my daughter died, we got one stone for me, my husband, and her, and that's our scripture.
Wow, deliver us from evil?
No.
Oh.
2 Timothy.
Oh. I
bet you thought that's unusual. She's already gone. Deliver me.
I know you put deliver.
I have fought the good fight.
Yeah, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Yeah. I fought the good fight. I finished my course and I got the faith. I'm like, Lord Jesus, what's going on with your daughter? Anybody else?
Lisa.
That's my sister's name. I still remember that.
When you were talking about the word random, that really hit me on the ground because I have found the word random to actually mean strategic by the enemy.
Wow.
What looks like something random that just pops into your life at seemingly just the right time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's God.
Uh-huh.
And if it's God, it's strategic.
Yeah.
But it can also be the enemy. And something can sound so good. You ever get caught up in, one of those pyramid deals or something bring you some situation or some opportunity at just the right time. Mm-hmm. And you get all hyped up and caught up in the emotion of it and go home and you're just all excited about it. Everybody else is going, Mom, that's not you. That I can't see you doing that. And then couple of days later, those emotions come down, and you're like, "What was I thinking?
What was I thinking?
What was I thinking? I can't do that." So, to me, that word equates the same thing.
Yes. Right?
There's no such thing as random.
Yes.
It's strategic.
It's strategic. It's planned. Absolutely. And that's why I say, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Because the enemy's busy. And you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered.
And as you were saying with the emotions, they get such a hold on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned, just in going through conflict with my children, with my husband, we've all taken note of how long it takes each of us when we've been hurt, offended, wounded, any of those things. Each of us have, according to our personalities, a certain period of time that it takes for the emotions to settle back down.
Right.
And we've learned not to discuss things during that period.
Mm-hmm.
We just go into prayer about it, let the emotions come down.
Yes.
For me, if it's really big, it takes about 36 hours. I'm a woman, I'm a little bit more emotional, my husband's more compartmentalized.
Yes.
Okay, I did with it, we're done with it.
Yeah.
He'll be done with it about 12 hours before I am.
Uh-huh.
But he's had to learn that it takes me a little bit longer before we should come back together and talk about that thing and then pray about it in a whole different way, what I'm saying?
That's wisdom.
Yeah.
That's wisdom. Just understanding who you are, understanding the emotion piece. Because when you understand it and know that it's there, you know how to deal with it. I need to give it time to dissipate. Then we can talk about it in a spiritual manner with the Holy Spirit leading this conversation.
And those differences between men and women.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Difference between men and women, she's saying, and that's absolutely true. Anybody else? I know we're... So, and again, folks, I said this before, is the dinner being next week a conflict for anybody? Because they do have the cowboy service and the hot dogs, and I don't know if anybody went to stay for hot dogs, and they said, everybody's good? Okay, we'll keep our date then. Okay, so we'll go ahead and dismiss. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance, Lord God, and all the many ways in which you deliver us and cause us to deliver, Lord, others, Lord God. Deliver where we ask that you work through us this week, Lord God. Father, show us opportunities, Lord God, to deliver grace, to deliver prayer, to deliver, Lord God, your word to others, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would not just be closed into ourselves, Lord God, but we would see the work of the Lord in front of us, Lord God, and we would deliver, Lord God, what you have called us to deliver, Lord God. Oh, Father, use us as vessels, Lord God. Father, and bring the deliverance in our heart. Lord, we do pray, deliver us from evil, Lord God. Deliver us from evil, Lord, when we feel that attitude rising up in us, Lord God, and we feel our heart shifting away. Father, our prayer is deliver us from evil. Lord, bring us back to you, Lord. Bring us back to our deliverance in you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. And we expect you this week. Lord, I pray that this class is looking for you this week, Lord God, that we have testimonies to share about how you have worked through us, how you have delivered us personally, and how you have delivered those around us through us, Lord God. So we thank you.